Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Other Woman and the Wife, where we discuss why infidelity exists and what we can learn from it. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Emery, and Emery is a new member of our team, and she's going to make sure that this podcast gets executed and released on a weekly basis, because I have been miserably failing at it. And if you are miserably failing at something, you ask for help. And if you're lucky, someone will help you out. So Emery, thank you for joining me on today's podcast. And you and I have only worked together like this for a week or two. And so far, you have become one of my favorite coworkers. So thank you so much.
I'm very happy to be here.
Would you like to maybe tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you're looking forward to as far as being a member of the team?
I am looking forward to not only this podcast being weekly, but also engaging in some common things that I've noticed within the community tend to come up a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We should tell them that you are a member of the community.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so if they like anything that you have said on the podcast, they can come and find you in the community. Because I think the other thing with acquiring you as a team member has been you are a very helpful collaborator and you are full of knowledge and you are learning how to apply that knowledge to your life. And I just think that it will be really cool as the podcast starts to grow, that people start to get to know you through the podcast, and then if they want to engage with you, they can join the community.
Yes, and I think that the work that's actually been being done in the community over the last year has just been, it shocked me.
Yeah, it shocked me too. I think one of the things that I love about the community so much is it's not just one type of person or one person in a specific season of life. I feel like one of the greatest benefits of the community is that there's such a high amount of wisdom from people who have walked different paths in their life, like during different seasons. I know a lot of people go in and they're like, oh, it's just women trying to figure out how to cheat better. And I kind of laugh and I'm like, they are just trying to figure out like what makes them happy and like being able to attain that for themselves. The relationship irrelevant.
Yes. And it's so nice to have the wisdom of just everybody being on different parts of the journey.
Yeah. And the fact that it spans global. I never realized that like TikTok was a global platform for some odd reason. I was like, oh, I'm dialoguing with people in California only. And then once people started to expose where they were, I was like, you're in Scotland? Oh, hi. Nice to meet you. I've never met somebody from Scotland.
Yeah. There was somebody who was friends with, there was an artist.
I know, but I'm not going to say the artist's name.
Yes. But they were friends with an artist and I was shocked. I was like, how am I talking to somebody? Like, we just wanted to talk about music. And then all of a sudden I'm talking to somebody who's, oh yeah, I went to dinner with that artist. And I was like, hello.
That's so cute. All right. So in today's episode, we are going to be exploring the question, am I giving him an ultimatum or am I setting a boundary? And I think what listeners can expect from this episode is a better understanding of what boundaries are and what they are not. And how do you set a boundary? And what can you really expect from a boundary? Because I think often I hear a lot of people talking about boundaries. And one of the most like infuriating comments that I hear from people is like, I told him about the boundary. I set the boundary, but he keeps crossing it. And I'm like, oh, you don't know yet. Boundaries can't be crossed. Like, it's your job to reinforce them. It is your job to understand how to set up a boundary that can be achieved. Because I think if we set them up improperly, they're just doomed to fail. And so, Emery, why don't we go ahead and talk a little bit about what we were talking about yesterday as far as what are boundaries? You came up with an excellent, you and I were brainstorming and I had said, what is something that protects you that you can't see? And you and I stewed on that question a little bit. And why don't you go ahead and share what you thought?
So I thought that, let's see, I thought that discussing deeply rooted self-understanding and intuition as something invisible that protects you. Because a boundary is something that's invisible and it protects you. Like when you apply sunscreen to safely enjoy your beach day.
That's right. I loved the sunscreen analogy so much because I was like, wow, you don't have to talk about it for it to be effective. All you have to do is apply it. And sometimes you have to, you had pointed out this morning, you were like, and sometimes you have to reapply it. I was like, oh, that's so good. So if we think about boundaries as sunscreen, right? The way that we go about selecting the type of sunscreen we want is dependent on the experience that we want to have at the end of the day. So I feel like if I go to the store and I buy tanning oil as sunscreen, which yours truly has done, because I thought I was going to the beach to get a tan, but the elements are not nice on the beach. And I turn into a lobster at the end of the day. So my expectations of this tanning lotion were far, far like, or what should I say? My expectations of the tanning oil were not grounded in reality. Tanning oil is not going to prevent me from being burned. It is going to help the burning process.
And I think, like with boundaries, trial and error is how you learn how to set a boundary that's healthy for yourself.
Yes. And I think there's also this common misconception that boundaries are to get other people to do things. And we are not talking about what other people will do when they are met with your boundary. We can certainly go into that because there's going to be a lot of discomfort for you because they're probably going to have feelings about it. And their feelings are not your responsibility. You don't need to change their feelings. You don't need to change the boundary so that their feelings change. You just have to get comfort. You have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that season of discomfort, it passes pretty quickly. I feel like once I learned how to effectively set boundaries in my midst, it was liberating. It was like, oh my God, I thought this was going to be so uncomfortable, but really I was way more uncomfortable in life before I set the boundary.
Yeah, I think because we're always like setting a boundary with typically we're setting a boundary, like you do set them with yourself, but commonly you're setting them with other people. And that's why people have this misconception that they're setting this ultimatum for the person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're actually just making sure that you leave on time if needed from that situation or that relationship.
Yes. Let's see. I'm looking at our notes right now and you had put in there, I fucking love this. You had said, boundaries are not meant to control other people, but rather to protect one's own emotional and mental well-being. Setting boundaries is something you do for yourself, not others. Common confusions exist between boundaries and ultimatums. An ultimatum is telling someone else what they need to do, while a boundary is something that you uphold for yourself. So if we apply this to the world of infidelity, and the question that you are deliberating on is, if I tell him that I'm going to leave the relationship by X date if he's not divorced, that's not how we frame this concept for us to be in alignment with action that we need to take. I think that the way that we frame it is super important so that we understand what is expected of us, the individual, the only one that we can actually control in the circumstance. So whenever I talk to coaching clients who are like, I don't want to be in the affair anymore, what can I do? And I'm like, you set a timeline. You basically start to tell yourself that by X date, I will no longer be inside of a relationship with somebody who is legally committed to somebody else. But you don't have to even tell them about it for it to be effective. Like, I love what some of the girls are doing inside of the community, where there's so much fear around no contact, because I think once you're in a consistent relationship with somebody, you develop a dependency on that relationship existing in your world. So the idea of ripping off a Band-Aid when it's another human being, right? This isn't like a substance. Yes, they are probably a person of substance, but being able to gravitate towards a life without that relationship, they're talking about weaning themselves from the relationship and from the person that they're in a relationship with. And I think that that's really helpful, because the boundary isn't so difficult to accomplish. It's easier to uphold a boundary that isn't so, what is it, fast and hard. And I think that, like, watching some of the community members do this thing where they're like, okay, the boundary I'm going to set for myself is I do not do knee-jerk responses to text messages I receive from somebody that I'm trying to detach from. And that is a boundary that they feel comfortable being able to hold up for themselves. I think when you start putting boundaries in place that you actually don't have the strength to uphold, you perpetuate the cycle of disappointing yourself. And so that just leads us into our next topic, which is, how do you set healthy boundaries? And why is understanding your relationship with your own ability to self-abandon so important? Emery and I are going to dig in to help you guys understand what self-abandonment is. And Emery, can you help jog my memory on what you and I had talked about earlier about self-abandonment?
So especially in the world, in the realm that we talk about, where it relates back to infidelity, I have yet to meet somebody who was like, who met their affair partner and was like, I'm going to fall in love with you. All of those relationships that I've heard about is someone reaching out to a friend and then things escalating. And when you self-abandon at the beginning of the relationship, so you self-abandon and do something that you never thought you would ever do, it's like, how do you go back and start setting boundaries that you can safely and securely set and not worry that you're going to self-abandon again? And then that just takes a lot of work, a lot of looking inwards and asking yourself, why did it happen in the first place?
Yes. There was also something you said yesterday about self-abandonment that I thought was really profound. And it was, I think we were talking about food and we were talking about abandoning your own needs. Okay, so whenever I talk about healthy boundaries, I think about some of the rules that I had inside of my head that were to my own detriment. So when I was younger, I was of the belief that I should eat my meals with my husband. And in order to display respect to him, I needed to wait until he was ready to eat. But what was weird was his hunger didn't dictate my hunger. My body dictated my hunger. So in the moments where I would become a hangry mess, I was abandoning myself in favor of being able to display respect to my husband. And you want to know who wasn't looking for me to display my respect for him in that way? My husband. It was all in my fucking head. And then I started to realize, like, oh, the boundary that I actually need to have is I will feed myself when I become hungry. And in setting that boundary, I have a healthier relationship with food. I have a less resentful relationship with my husband. I have less emotional turmoil when it comes to eating meals together, because I'm not starving. Like, I made it a priority to put myself first and making sure that my body is fed when it is hungry. And I know I talk about food all the time on this podcast. You're welcome, you guys. I fucking love food. But yeah, I think that the self-abandonment thing, it goes really far. And when we don't realize that we abandon ourselves, or when we're not aware that we're abandoning ourselves in these situations in life, I think we don't realize how much better our time could be spent and how much more we could enjoy the way that we spend our time in our life. I think the other thing that women tend to do, and this one actually really does break my fucking heart, because I don't think I have done this. Maybe I have. But listening to women talk about how they abandon their bodies for the sake of sexually gratifying a man really starts to eat away at my soul, because I have had countless coaching calls where I will ask the question, like, are you intimate with your husband? And the response is, well, yes, but I just pretend I'm not there. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, I don't really want to have sex with him, but if I don't have sex with him, then he's going to become angry. And so I'm like, okay, you disassociate from your entire body in fear of the discomfort you will have when he gets angry. And I remember just like being on that call with that woman, and she's like, I never thought of it like that. I'm like, yes, like, you're not evading his anger by sleeping with him. You are evading your own discomfort of being in the midst of his anger by sleeping with him. But also, like, you're not giving him the insight that you don't want to have sex with him. I feel like often women, myself included, we want to believe that our husbands just know, or our significant others just know. We say things like, oh, they can tell, or they have to know. And it's like, well, did you
tell them? They should be able to tell by now, because you've been together for so long. And yet you've still just been hoping that they'll infer the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I know something I've had to unentangle in this area of self-abandonment was I used physical intimacy as my gateway to gain emotional intimacy. I knew that my husband would be much more available to me after when we had a pillow talk or something of that sort. And it took a long time for me to realize, like, the emotional connection is so important to my enjoyment of the physical connection. And then when I eliminated the physical connection, it just brought to the attention where all of a sudden it was being brought to me as like, hey, we're not physically or emotionally jiving anymore. He didn't really care that we hadn't been emotionally jiving for ages, for years. But once you had removed that thing, then all of a sudden it came to his attention, like, hey, we're not happy. And it took a lot of like unwinding for me to be like, oh, this is something that you should be able to just ask for. The like, I need some emotional intimacy right now. I need to talk to you about like things. And because I was married so young, it was just something that worked. It was like, oh, I know. He'll be in a great mood after this, and then we'll be able to talk about things, and I won't be as freaked out about bringing things up. And it took a long time.
I hate whenever I have to feel, or I feel like I'm the one who's responsible for managing somebody else's mood. And I did that for so many years. I would overwhelm myself with a responsibility that I couldn't execute on. And it was managing everybody else's mood in the room. And I didn't understand how manipulative that would make me when I started to, you know, basically censor what I wanted and needed inside of a relationship because I wanted to make sure everybody else was good. And like, not everybody else was doing that. Everyone else was taking care of themselves.
Yeah. And as a young girl, I was just brought up that way. I had three brothers, and the amount of like emotional awareness that was expected of me, that was not expected of my brothers, was like, mm-hmm. when I became an adult and I look back on it, I was like, that's insane. But you don't know what you don't know.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so for our next segment of this podcast episode, we want to talk about how can being confident in your own ability to set boundaries impact and strengthen all the relationships in your life. And this segment of the episode is really going to be like, what can I expect from a boundary, right? So I think what you can expect from a boundary is a significant increase in the way that you feel inside of your life. If you all of a sudden become aware that it bothers you to wait to eat for your husband, it is your responsibility to take care of that bothering event. And that bothering event is likely indicative of something that you're doing to hold yourself back, or something that you're doing to get in your own way.
You mean you're not supposed to just get mad at your husband for not showing up 30 minutes earlier?
When I was hungry?
When I started to get hungry, when I've said I'm hungry, it's already 30 minutes too late.
I think one of my favorite things that like I've been doing lately inside of my head, and I did this definitely like starting around parenting, when you just said, you mean I can't get mad at my husband for not arriving 30 minutes early? I love that, because for a really long time, I thought that my emotions were the result of what somebody else did. And then whenever I, you know how like you see those things on content where they're like, it's not really about food, is it? Is it? Like, is it really about the party? Right, right. And whenever I first started to dig in with those types of things, I started to think about, am I really angry at you? Did you cause my anger? And I started to like develop my own little world, basically, where I was like, what if I can't be angry at you? What if I am just angry? And I really started to own my own emotions and started to really discern what it was that bothered me so much. So if we use the example of like, me getting mad at Stan because I'm hungry, Stan is not the cause of my hunger. My body is the cause of my hunger. And like, I'm the person who is responsible for operating my body. And so what does getting mad at Stan resolve? And I remember one day we were having a conversation and he had said something like, I'm really mad at you. And I was like, you're not mad at me. You're mad at yourself. And he kind of like took a beat, kind of stared at me for a second. And I was like, yeah, why'd you allow me to do that?
I know like a common thing that I've been learning about boundaries is that, I don't know, did you ever watch The Office?
Yes, religiously.
Where they tell him, and he comes out and he's like, I declare bankruptcy.
Oh, I love this one. Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't have to declare it to the world. Like, you don't have to tell everybody, like, this is my boundary. Like, when the community was talking about weaning off of your affair partner, like, you can just do it in your head. So setting little boundaries in your head slowly, I think, is what builds up the confidence to then implement them properly in your life. Because you have to be really rooted in the why. What is the why of this boundary? What is it doing to protect me? And once you're really rooted in what it is and why you're doing it, how that person reacts to the boundary all of a sudden doesn't affect you near as much. You start realizing why it's not an ultimatum for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We do have to get back to the ultimatum thing.
Then also what I've noticed with children is that modeling healthy boundaries, like either disagreeing respectfully, or one of the big examples I used yesterday was when I noticed my son is playing his Minecraft on his device and also watching somebody on YouTube play Minecraft. And I walk in and I'm like, I cannot handle having two screens going at one time, even though it has nothing to do with me. But I'll walk in and I'll turn off the television and my son is 7 and he will get so upset. And what I realize is when I just turn to him and go, I cannot handle having two screens on at a time. You have to pick one because I am overstimulated. He like would just puzzle and accept it. He's, oh, okay.
So nice.
Same with like if he's asking for something and I'll be like, I can't help you with that right now. I have to make dinner because mommy is really hangry and I need to get myself food right now. The amount of times that he all of a sudden just, oh, okay, but you'll get it when you're done. I'm like, yep. And I realize now that I never had like a parental modeling of that. Like martyrdom was like what was promoted to me growing up.
Your parents were like that? Your parents were martyrs or you were the martyr?
My mother was. Very much.
Your mother was.
It was very much, not to me, but to my brothers or to my dad. It was very like whatever they wanted really went. And if I wanted something, there was heavy debate.
So it was like patriarchy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was definitely like internalized misogyny, heavily rooted in the Catholic Church. But that's a whole nother episode.
That is a whole nother episode.
But I've been listening to this song and my favorite like line from it is, I'm not a martyr, I'm a problem. And I just say that in my head all the time now to try to like stop myself when I notice that I'm like, when I'm, because you're oftentimes you're doing it of your own accord. Nobody's even asking you. You're just so used to it.
I know. It's the worst though. It is the worst because then all of a sudden you look around and you realize nobody else is living by these rules. Like they're just rules that you adopted inside of your own head and they're exhausting you.
If you are the other woman in your relationship and you love this podcast, you would love the Other Women community. The Other Women community is a membership program designed to help other women just like you reclaim their relationship with themselves and heal from their affair. We provide a safe and supportive environment for you to open up and talk about your experiences. We give you the tools and resources you need to grow into an authentic, empowered individual. If you're ready to take the next step in your healing journey, head on over to theotherwomanandthewife.com/community to learn more about the membership and all it has to offer.
So a lot of you women that I speak with on the regular fear setting a boundary because you are concerned it will be perceived as an ultimatum by him. And I think this is a really interesting power struggle between affair partners. When both are unwilling to let go at a certain point in time, what they do is they start to basically develop an imbalance of power and they start to trap each other. So they will say things like, oh, you were fine with it yesterday, but now you want to give me an ultimatum that like I have to leave my wife. This isn't you. And it's like, you're right. It ain't. It's the new me. Like I am giving myself the ultimatum because I cannot handle living inside of this dynamic forever. And it feels like you're not going to make the changes that need to be done in order to meet my wants and needs. Because here's the thing, ladies, the wants and needs that you are, what's the word? Compromising for yourself. Like I thought about this a lot whenever I was going from the affair to being out of the affair. What was I compromising as far as my value system, my desires, my wants and my needs inside the affair? And what was I compromising about myself before the affair? And whenever I got into it, I started to understand that the things that I was compromising about myself in the effort of keeping the relationship with Stan was my value in being honest with everyone around me. I was, you know, compromising on my value of authenticity. I could not be authentic in front of my ex. And so being inside the affair, I was still doing this thing where I was negotiating with myself, where I would meet myself right here. And then in the affair, I could meet myself over here. And like, it just kept going like this until one day I just took the damn thing and said, no, fuck this. I have a habit of lying. I don't know where it came from, but I got to get rid of it. And then I made it a habit to tell the truth. So I really had to like look at my habits. But the ultimatum, like somebody else telling me what my intentions are, drives me wild. So if I ever go to set a boundary and someone says, oh, so you're the type of person who sets an ultimatum, I'm like, nah, bitch, I just told you what's going to happen in the event of. I'm just revealing to you what my future course of action is. And it's on you. You get to act in your little world however you want. And what I want for you is irrelevant to what you want for you. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's so common for people to have that reaction. And if you're someone who's prone to like fall into a fight or flight state when confronted with frustration or anger, that is going to create so much difficulty in you setting a boundary next time or ever trying again. Because people, the thing that I had written down is that in my experience, only people who benefit from your lack of boundaries will get upset with you for setting them because of it revokes their power in the situation and it returns it back to you.
Perfect.
And they know this somewhere in the back of their head. So they're going to fight you when they realize that they're losing control in that sense. But I'm one of those people that frustration is like, panic. They hate me.
Frustration leads you to panic.
And it's like, yes, I fall into fight or flight and then I have to go do nerve protocols until like my body like chills out.
Oh. Hey, Marie, we got to restore that nervous system.
I'm working.
There was some
on
other
it.
Stuff that you had mentioned, like final thoughts for the listeners. I loved some of the stuff that you had wrote down about your own relationship with boundaries and what you've come to discover and stuff that has really resonated with you. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that before we close up?
Oh, yeah. So my relationship with boundaries has evolved over the years. So I was raised to have no boundaries, which just turned me into a people-pleasing doormat. And when I realized that this was a problem, I then, of course, typical human response, you're going to swing back and go in completely the other direction. So all of a sudden, I was putting up way too rigid of boundaries. And then I was just removing everybody from my life to the point where I got to an isolated like situation. And I stayed in that situation for years. And for a while, I felt really bad about it because some of these relationships were like really important to me. And as I slowly start to reintroduce people into my life, I started giving myself like grace and giving myself forgiveness for this period of my life that I actually was extremely lonely. And then I found this philosophy. And the philosophy said, muddy water, let stand, will become clear. So essentially, it's about the power of patience. And then I also was reading the Four Agreements. And the very first agreement is being impeccable with your words. And since I did not have that skill, I am now happy that I waited and I sat because of as everything cleared, I suddenly was able to go to these people in my life that were important to me and say, this is the core problem and I want to repair this. Instead of going off, you need to go to therapy. You need to like be more involved of your own accord. You need, instead of going with all these like triggered emotional responses, I was able to go and just be like, this is the core thing. this is what I realized. And what I found is people are much more receptive when you come to them with like your own opinion of things instead of saying, you need to go to therapy. You're messed up. That was not a good route. It was not productive.
I love this. And you know what? This really speaks to nobody really wants to be told what to do. And until I like really accepted this, I started to realize how much I wanted to change about other people. And then I had like this real, I'll say, come to Jesus moment where I was like, why would I want to change anybody? Like, why can't I appreciate and value them as they are? And that doesn't mean giving them full access to me or anything like that, but like being able to look at them at the state of life that they're in and being like, you are a good and worthy person. I don't need to tell you what your next steps are. And really getting into being able to lead yourself well in your own life requires you to stop investing your attention and your energy into telling other people how to lead their own lives. And that was a hard one for me to accept. There were so many people where I was like, oh, this would be so much easier if you just, and I'm like, oh, I actually don't know what you need to do. I don't know everything that is going on inside of your world. I don't know what has affected you since before I met you. And yes, I can be a helpful support, but I don't need to be telling you what you need to do in order to make me comfortable. I just need to make me comfortable. And if that means spending less time with you, then I got to do it.
That's a good note to end.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and leave you guys with that one. If you guys have more questions about boundaries and how to apply them into your own life and how the whole concept actually works, go ahead and hit us up on our website, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast episode. We appreciate your support and would love to hear your thoughts on it. If you've made it this far, you're likely someone who is invested in the journey of being the other woman. We understand that this can be a difficult and complex experience, which is why we offer guided coaching to help you heal and move forward. We encourage you to explore the links in the episode description or visit theotherwomaninthewife.com/coaching to learn more about our exclusive coaching program and apply today. Thank you again for your support, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode.